Well, we're now joined by David Goldstein, who runs a blog, horsesass.org, and we had on as a Democrat during the trial in Wenatchee to give that perspective. And he expressed apparently recently in his blog, though I haven't really read it recently because I've been busy doing other things, but apparently he's expressed some concerns about our involvement in 9/12. And so we thought we'd ask him on to share that because he does one day dream of being a talk show host on the other side. And so, David, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me back on.
By the way, I have your letter ready. I just haven't figured out how to make a document onto email to email it to you. So as soon as my 18-year-old shows me how to do that, you'll have your letter of recommendation, all right?
Okay. You can always use postal mail.
Yeah, I know, but I want to try and be hip.
Okay.
Like all the kids do. So anyway, all right. Now, I guess my producer tells me that you've been expressing some concerns about John and mine involvement in the 9/12 campaign, and I thought I would ask you on to share what those concerns might be.
Well, my major concern with your involvement is that there would be no 9/12 campaign without it. It's a huge unreported expenditure in favor of the initiative.
Now, by that, you mean that we offered people the opportunity to say, if you want to get involved, go to this website?
Well, I think there's basically two talk radio initiatives this season. One is 9/12, which you and John have been supporting, and mm-hmm. the other is the Mike Siegel initiative, I-900, which he has been supporting. Mm-hmm. And in both cases, there's just been an enormous amount of free media, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth between the two of them, as far as I'm concerned. And I think there's a problem with the PDC regulations as they stand right now.
Now, do you see it as a problem in the way they stand right now that they don't require this reporting and they should, or that they do require it and it's not being reported?
That, as far as I can tell, that they don't require it.
Right.
You haven't been reporting, and,
well, and
that, I'm
it's
not
required,
hearing
as far
any
as I
peeps
know.
Out of the PDC
right.
that they're going to investigate that.
As far as, although there is a lawsuit against the committee suggesting that Fisher should report this, but legal counsel tells me that there's no state regulation on airtime. It's a federally regulated. That is, if I was running for Congress, had a personal interest in it, it would be a violation of federal law. But to report on a state issue so far as an unregulated area.
Right.
Now, as a potential talk show host, okay, let's say that you got a job over there on Air America. What kind of regulation would you want to tell you what you could and what you couldn't talk about on the air?
Well, I would like, as a potential talk show host, I would like no regulations whatsoever, but I would hope that the station would handle any reporting details that were required if, in fact, I was pushing issues or candidates on the air. So,
okay, now issues are different than candidates. Issues are different than candidates. Let's draw a line there. Okay.
I sympathize with you in terms of not wanting to be hamstrung by the PDC. Mm-hmm. I did run an initiative myself, and I can tell you it's rather annoying to do all those filings. So I can sympathize with you on that. What I'd rather actually do is talk about the initiative itself, since we've
sure.
talked about this peripheral issue, because I think
sure.
more importantly is what the initiative does and what I think is some of the misinformation about it in terms
okay.
of the public's understanding. Well, first, I'd like to dispel one myth right off the bat, and,
uh-huh.
and you call this the No New Gas Tax Initiative. It's not a new tax. We have had this tax since 1921,
mm-hmm.
and it is an excise tax, which means that it is a fixed value per unit, per gallon of gas, and that value decreases over time due to inflation.
Mm-hmm.
I have posted this morning a chart to my website, horsesass.org, where I track the gas price from 1940 in actual dollars and in inflation-adjusted 2005 dollars. And
mm-hmm.
you'll find that in 1940, in 2005 dollars, it was 55.5 cents a gallon. And this
the price of gas or the tax?
The tax.
Okay, the tax, okay.
The tax. And, of course, right now it's 28 cents a gallon,
mm-hmm.
which is near an all-time low. That is almost half of what it was in 1940.
Mm-hmm.
And even after you tack on this 9.5 cents and you project out to 2009, we're still well below historical averages in terms of the cost of the gas tax in real dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at an equivalent of, in 2005 dollars, it's just under 35 cents a gallon. So it's not a high tax historically.
Okay.
The other issue which I want to address, which has to do with the way this campaign has been sold to the public, particularly, well, I've heard John say it. I can't say that I've heard you do it directly. But that is somehow to reap some benefit from the election contest and Dino Rossi's loss in the trial to kind of get that anger going and say, hey, if you're mad about the election, vote for this. Well, I have a question for Dino Rossi, and maybe you can ask him. Does he or does he not support your initiative? Because as far as I can tell, he doesn't. He's been asked. He will not come out in support of it. And to me, that means no support.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a man who ran on competitiveness as his major issue.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who ran with the support of business and industry. And if you go to the Keep Washington Rolling website and you look at who's supporting the No campaign,
big business, big labor, big money, big law,
environmental groups, chambers of commerce, the Association of Washington Cities. But let me ask you, in terms of creating a good business environment in Washington State, what do Microsoft, Boeing, Washington Mutual, Weyerhaeuser, what do they all know about the state of our transportation system that you and John don't?
Well, it's an interesting thing, David, because on this very same website, you'll see that Keep Washington Rolling admits that this has nothing to do with congestion. And yet it seems to me that the concern of big business a couple of years ago, Referendum 51, was congestion, that we had to keep Washington rolling because traffic was delayed and traffic was jammed. And the people said no, 63%, the last time the legislature tried to ask the people what it should do. And the people said no. So instead of going back and thinking outside the box or coming to a different solution, they raised the gas tax in 2003, 5 cents a gallon, and again in 9.5 cents a gallon this attempt. So they raised the gas tax 62% after 63% of the people say no. Now, what do the people know that big business doesn't know?
But you have to understand
The people, David!
But Kirby, the legislature did not raise the gas tax from 1991 all the way until 2003. That's why, if you look at the chart, you can see this happens throughout. You get these long declines, and then this chunky increase, and then inflation eats away at it again.
Yes.
We have $250 billion worth of transportation infrastructure, roads, bridges, ferries, the ferry terminals in this state. And we're talking about spending a fraction of that.
You're talking about 20 times the annual budget of the state of Washington.
Right, but we need
20 times the annual budget of the state of Washington to fix our transportation infrastructure?
No, I'm saying that is the infrastructure we have now, the value of the infrastructure.
All right.
We need to maintain it. And we're talking about a fraction, a tiny fraction of the total value of our infrastructure that we're spending on maintaining it.
David, the point is there's a lack of credibility and there is a lack of accountability in the public's eye. Otherwise, they would not have rejected Referendum 51 by 63%. And otherwise, people would not be scared of this one going on the ballot. If the legislature had a sellable program that they could convince the public on, they would not have put the emergency clause in an attempt to escape the referendum, and they would have brought it to the people again. Why are the people, and you can't say it's talk radio, David, because the amount of people we reach is a very, very tiny slice of the people of the state of Washington. Why do the people continually say no?
The
people.
Because of a failure to communicate on this issue and what this tax actually pays for. This is about safety and about competitiveness. If you look at the projects that are going on throughout the state, many of these are targeting high accident areas where people die every year.
Right.
It's
I know.
A fixed dangerous...
We are now killers.
Excuse me?
We're killers now. We've been accused of being killers.
No, our roads are killers, and a lot of this money is to fix these safety problems where you have interchanges and intersections where people are dying. That is where a lot of the new construction goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, we have a decaying infrastructure that we have spent $250 billion to build, and now we're going to let it rot away because we're not willing to go and spend the money which we need to maintain it.
My suggestion is we take the $2 billion for the monorail and maybe fix some of the infrastructure with that. David, we'll have you back.
Oh, thank you.
I promise. All right, you have a good day. David Goldstein.